All right, so let's go to Genesis chapter 40. We have been discussing the patriarch Joseph. And as we were discussing last week, where does he find himself? In Egypt. May want to be more exact. In prison, right? He's been thrown into prison as we get to chapter 40. The text just simply begins by some time after this. So we don't know how long he's been in there, but we do know there's been enough time that he's risen up in the prison to be kind of the prison steward as a prisoner. And as we get into chapter 40, we'll begin this section where God will give Joseph the ability to interpret some dreams. Now, for extra bonus points, we said it last week. Let's see who remembers from last week. Without looking forward, anybody tell me what Joseph's Egyptian name is? Anybody remember from last week? Oh, close. I want to make sure I pronounce this right. Zaphnath-Paaneah, right? That's his name. We'll learn that later, okay? Anybody tell me his wife's name?
Joseph's wife.
Mm-hmm. We're told at the end of chapter 41, but don't look ahead and cheat unless... Asnath, and of course you know his children, his two boys, Barrett. Good, and you didn't cheat, right? Good job. All right, so that's where we're heading as we get through chapters 40 and 41. In chapter 40, there are two men who come to Joseph. Do you remember their job titles? We don't know their names. We just know their job titles. What now? I heard Baker. That's right. Chief Baker. What's the other guy? Butler. Or probably more literally, cupbearer. So these are two very important men within the kingdom. Now, why are they important? Well, number one, the cupbearer, who gets mentioned first in verse 1, is the man who would test the drink that the Pharaoh would, or the cup that Pharaoh would drink from in order to make sure, you know, it was safe to drink. So his job was one that held a lot of trust in it. In a similar way, so would the baker, in that the baker was the one who prepared the food so that he eats well, but also could eat safely. And so these two men, we're not told why, but we're told in verse 2 that they had made the Pharaoh angry. And so now they're both in prison, confined with Joseph. Now, one interesting thing that was noted in verse 3, and I just want to quickly mention this, one commentator mentioned that Joseph, let's read it. He said, Pharaoh put them, the cupbearer and the baker, in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. Some believe that this means that the prison Joseph was in was that of the prison run by Potiphar. Kind of going back to our thing last week. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not here to tell you that's definitely the case, but I know there's some who believe that might be what's going on here. But the two men come in, and in verse number 7, Joseph notices that both men seem upset, and they're upset because of the dreams they had. Now, as you read through this, What is the dream the cupbearer had? Verse 9 and following. What was the dream he had? What's the imagery that's used? Okay, there's a vine. What about the vine? Grows up quickly with clusters of grapes on it, right? And he says, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, verse 11, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. All right, so that's the dream. One other thing. How many branches did the vine have? Three. Now, that's important when you get to the interpretation. Now, let's see. There's one other thing that I want to mention. Let's go back to verse 8. So that's the first dream. Before Joseph interprets them, notice what he says. The end of verse 8. He says, "And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God?" And he says, "Please tell them to me." What does that indicate to you about Joseph and his interpretation of the dreams? And that he understood that. Now, in Egypt, there were lots of... the king had his own dream interpreters. The Pharaoh did. Yet none of them, as we'll find in the next chapter, are able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. But unlike these other dream interpreters, Joseph has God's help as he goes through these interpretations. So you see the first one, the cupbearer. He has the vine with three branches. It grows up, cluster of grapes. He takes the grapes in the dream and puts them into Pharaoh's cup. So verse 12 tells us the interpretation. Joseph says that the three branches are 3 days. And which means in 3 days, verse 13, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Now notice that language. He will lift up your head in order to do what? To restore him back to the position he had previously. And so Pharaoh's going to bring the cupbearer, or butler, and put him back in the prominent position he was in. And would restore him. So that's the first one. Let's go to the second one, verse 16. So that's one dream. You'll notice some similarities. How does the second dream go for the baker? What's his dream look like? All right, we're going to have to interact here. Go ahead, Barrett. How many baskets? Three baskets. You're right. There's three. There are baskets. Where are they? They're on his head. And what happens to those baskets? The birds eat out of them, right? And so, very kind of weird dream. He's got this basket on his head, or three baskets, and the birds come, and they're eating out of the basket. So what does this mean? Now, he's just heard Joseph give a good interpretation for the first guy. So if you're the baker, you're like, oh, okay, he gave him a good interpretation. I'm going to get one too. Is that how it goes? I want to read this because the wording is interesting. Verse 18, Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days." Okay, so same thing. 3 days for both men. "In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head." Wow, that's great, isn't it? I mean, just like he did the other guy, he lifted his head up. But I love the way Moses writes this, the Holy Spirit does here. He says, "From you." He adds that little tagline, which is pretty significant. He says he's going to lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Ugh. And that's a pretty disgusting image. So one guy is going to be restored, the other guy is going to be destroyed, I guess. So very different interpretations, but what's the important part? Both come true, exactly how they're interpreted. In 3 days, and somebody's having a big birthday. Y'all like birthday parties, right? Right? We got the afternoon haze going on today. Pharaoh has a birthday party. He's very generous to all of his people, except for the baker. The cupbearer is restored back to his position. The baker, however, is hanged, just as Joseph had remembered. Now, when Joseph interpreted the dreams, what did he ask the cupbearer to do? Please remember me. And if you go back and read, we won't read all of it, but he's basically pleading his case. And he says he wants an opportunity to plead his case before Pharaoh. Yet, verse 23 of chapter 40 tells us the cupbearer went on his way, forgot about poor Joseph, and lived his life. For how long? Verse 1 of chapter 41, 2 whole years. Now, if it's 2 years, you're probably going to think, he totally forgot me. And he did, until something happened. All right, so as we get into chapter 41, now we have Pharaoh having a dream. And let's talk about his dream. Now, he has two dreams, doesn't he? But they're very similar in nature. So what are the similarities in the two dreams that Pharaoh has? What's that? Well, I'm talking about the dreams of Pharaoh. How are the two dreams of Pharaoh similar? Okay, seven is important, right? In both dreams, he has two pairs of sevens, right? In each dream. Any other similarities? But how are they similar? That's true. Barrett, and then... Okay, so the smaller corn eats the bigger corn, and that's very similar to what? In the first dream, the smaller cows eat the bigger cows, right? So how they're dissimilar, of course... One has cattle in it. The other one has ears of corn. But you also see similarity in that both dreams have very healthy cows, very healthy corn, and then very unhealthy cattle and very unhealthy corn. Right. And so there's some similarities. Later on, when Joseph finally interprets the dream, he'll tell Pharaoh, the two dreams are the same. They have the same implications to them. We'll get to that in a minute. One other significance that I don't want to overlook is, where is Pharaoh at in the dream? What river? By the Nile. By the Nile. Now, why is the Nile significant to the Egyptians? Yeah, the Nile was very significant to Egypt. It's what made Egypt the city it was. It gave it fertile ground. It allowed traffic to move up and down. The Nile was kind of at the center of Egyptian life. And so when you go later on with Moses and the effects that are caused to the Nile when it turns to blood, that was significant to the Egyptian people, because that water that water source was very important to their lives. And it was important then. And you notice the cows come out from where? From the Nile, right? The kind of ideal, this goes back to the fertility of the land is going to change. All right, so Pharaoh has these two dreams, and he's perplexed by it. It says in verse 8 that when he woke up, his spirit was troubled. Right? He knows this is important, but he doesn't know why. I have some dreams sometimes that I think about for a little bit. I don't know if you do, but this one seems to have a lot more implication than my dreams because I ate too late the night before, right? He's troubled, and yet all his magicians and wise men, they can't tell him the interpretation. And then finally, the cupbearer remembers. The chief cupbearer remembers Joseph and his interpretations. And we won't read all this, but he relates to Pharaoh in verses 9 through 13 about this young Hebrew who had interpreted some dreams for him and a baker and how they'd come true just as they were given. And so Pharaoh, verse 14, sends and calls for Joseph. The verse 14 tells us they quickly brought him, and this kind of, I don't know, I'm curious what other translations have, but it says they quickly brought him out of the pit. And that kind of struck me as I was rereading it. I hadn't noticed that before. Does anybody have a different word than pit? Dungeon? What translation is that one? King James? Any others? Now, I've not done a word study on this, but I think it's just interesting. Here, twice, Joseph has ended up in the pits. And both times, he arises out of the pit to do good things for God. But it just kind of struck me that twice, he's ended up in a very similar situation. But here, they after 2 years, cupbearer remembers, tells Pharaoh, and they bring him out of the pit. All right, so now verse 15, he reminds Joseph, "You've interpreted some dreams." Basically, he's asking, "Can you do that for me?" Verse 16, we mentioned this with the other two guys, but what's Joseph's answer in verse 16? What's that? It's not me. It's God doing it for you. It would be God giving you the interpretation. And so he says God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. I don't believe, now that's the English Standard Translation, is favorable answer. I don't think what he means there is that God's just going to give you something you like to hear. I think what he's trying to say is that God's going to give you an answer that is true.
This is an answer of peace.
And maybe indicating it's going to give him peace of mind, that he'll know his interpretation. So if you continue reading, Pharaoh tells Joseph what the dream was, how the cows had come up, the seven cows and very healthy cattle, and then the others come out, they eat them up, about the 7 years. All right, if you go down to verse 26, let's start at verse 25. Verse 25, I mentioned this a minute ago, but Joseph said to Pharaoh what? The dreams are one. So it's not God sending you two different messages, but one. Now, what does that imply, that God would send Pharaoh two dreams that mean the same thing? It's important. Any other ideas? What about the idea of a surety? That these are coming true. These are unavoidable. This is what's going to happen. So, what's Joseph's interpretation? Or what's the interpretation God gives to Joseph? Okay, so he says the seven healthy cows, the seven healthy ears represent seven good years. When the land is going to be fertile, when you're going to be able to have an abundance. However, what about the second half of both dreams? What do they represent? What? Famine. And the language... So verse 29, he says 7 years of great plenty. But notice verse 30. But after them will arise 7 years of famine. And then what? He adds a note at the end of that sentence, or he continues on. What's the second part of that thought? Not only will it be famine, but what? What? It'll deplete the land. Yeah, he says that the plenty will just be forgotten. It's going to be so difficult that you're not going to remember the good old days when you're in the middle of it. You're going to be so focused on that it'll just take it from your remembrance. So this is going to be a very tough time for the Egyptian people and the surrounding world. And so... he says, for it will be very severe, verse 31. Again, just to reiterate, verse 32, and the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God. What does that mean? What? It's going to happen, and it's unchangeable. There are sometimes when God has changed his mind. This is fixed. God is doing this. And so, and God will shortly bring it about. And then Joseph does something maybe Pharaoh wasn't expecting, but he gives some advice. He goes beyond the interpretation to add a little bit. Notice what he does. This is a good advice for young people. Right? You want a job, you want to be successful, find purpose for you to be there. To be there with the company or to be there for the employer. Show them what you can do. Show that you're needed. And so that's what Joseph does. He says in verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one-fifth of the produce of the land and of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for foods in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. We can be very good at complaining and identifying problems. What we're not always good at is identifying a solution. One of the things Joseph said, I think is trying to point out to us, or his example is good for us, is that he's not just giving him all bad news, but he's actually come with a way to overcome the difficulty. Now, whether that's God-inspired or Joseph's own ingenuity, I think it's a little bit God there. But I think at least it demonstrates that whenever we have a complaint, before we give our complaint, maybe we should think about a solution and being part of the way to overcome whatever difficulty you're in. Questions about that section up to there? All right. So you have Joseph. They're offering his advice to Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh was very pleased. This proposal, it says, verse 37, please Pharaoh and all his servants. And so what does Pharaoh do? All right. That's where y'all can answer back. He gives him the job. Pharaoh's notices somebody that's very wise and understanding. Now, we've already seen Joseph succeed, right? In the house of Pharaoh, he succeeded because of God. In the prison, he succeeded and rose up. And here again, we'll see Joseph succeed by the hand of God. And so Pharaoh appoints Joseph to this task. He says, verse 40, doesn't this sound very familiar? You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Again, and very similar language to what happened in Potiphar's house and in the prison. And so God has set Joseph up. Pharaoh then gives him, the text says, he took his signet ring. He doesn't have one made for Joseph. He takes his signet ring from his hand and puts it in Joseph's hand. What's the implication? Yeah, with the king's authority or the Pharaoh's authority. All right, that's a big deal. It's like, I guess, in a little modern circumstance, if the president gave somebody the red button, wherever this red button is, I keep hearing about, that he gets to push, right? Yeah, the auto pin. Well, whatever that is, it's not even, this is even more power than that, though. Nobody is greater than the Pharaoh, at least in our country. We have balanced government. They don't have balanced government. It's Pharaoh. And to give him a signet ring, he also gives him the gold chain. Gold chain. And put it around his neck. He clothed him in fine garment. And it says he even gave him a chariot. He gave him a nice ride. It's like a compass. It's like getting
Nothing's even happened yet.
Yeah, no, he's not saved one crop yet, right? He's not built one barn to store all this in. Again, I think this is all God at work here. But you see him really rise quickly. Again, as you go to the end of the chapter, you see his name changed to Zaphnath Paneah. And he marries Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah. And so he's set up in the land. Now, verse 46, and we'll end right here. How old is Joseph when all this happens? 30. How old was he when he sold into slavery? 17. So it's taken 13 years for him to go from the pit in the, you know, there with his brothers to rising up to being second in the greatest world power of the day. There's only one other man in the whole world with more power than him as far as human thinking goes. Pretty amazing. As you continue reading, we won't read all this, but things work just as God had revealed to Joseph. They're able to build these storehouses and to store up the crop. One-fifth, I think, is what they said of the crop they're able to store up each year, and it allowed them to overcome the famine that was being brought on them. Any questions? Yes, Turner.
Did Pharaoh have knowledge of the two dreams prior to bringing the Enoch? I mean, about the
father
and
Pharaoh? Doesn't... Well, he does seemingly only as the cupbearer revealed to him when he remembered Joseph. So he does tell him, like, here's this young Hebrew who interpreted some dreams that I had and the baker had, and they came out just as he had interpreted. Yeah. It doesn't seem to, because he has to be told about it, but maybe... Yeah, that's what I mean. If you go back and read earlier, the cupbearer tells Pharaoh, because Pharaoh can't find anybody to do the interpretation. The cupbearer comes to him in verse 9 and says, when I was put into prison because you were punishing me, I'm paraphrasing basically, but there was a Hebrew young man there who told my dream, and then the dream of the bakers. Well, it seems to be new information for Pharaoh. But the confirmation would be in that now he interprets his dream as well. I don't know. As far as I know, we don't really know what his offense was. Somebody else may know some. Huh?
Potiphar's wife.
Maybe so. No, they seem to have been, verse 10 says that when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and so he's going back saying he was put into prison because of Pharaoh's anger against him, not Potiphar. Good questions. Next week we'll get into the back and forth with the brothers coming and to get rations and going back and forth about Benjamin and everything. We'll move through some of those chapters kind of quickly because there's a lot of repetition of information. Anything else? All right. We'll go ahead and close out this period.